Today's daf is Bechorot Daf Nun. Everyone has on their math heads this morning. We're going to talk a lot about coins and exchanges, etc. Okay, so we started with the Mishnah that told us the Chamesh Sla'im of Ben, meaning the five of the Pidyon of Ben, are counted by the Manet Suri, okay, which was a higher valued coin. Okay, we're going to see right the coins of the days of the Gemara. It was already like the Manet they used was an eighth the value of the Manet Hatsuri. So then we saw a different, again, it was unclear whether they're really different opinions or they were really different statements by Amoraim trying to compare it to what's that amount in the amount of the coins that we know. So the last one we saw at the top of Daf Nun was Rabbi Yochanan says, Dinara Hadriana Tariana, okay, the Hadrian and Trajan coin, which were two Roman Caesars, it seems. Shayafa, again, one opinion was that was the name of the king, or some people say it was, meaning it was, rubbed off. It didn't have the tsura, the insignia anymore, right? De Mizabna, it's sold by Estrim v'chamisha zuze, it's valued at 25 zuzim, dal min hayushtota. Okay, 25 minus a sixth. Okay, now 25 minus a sixth is not exactly a very round number, as you can imagine. And the Gemara is going to say, and then it says, right, Bahanach l'pidyon ben, and that's what you need for pidyon ben. So now they say, really the assumption is that what does he mean when he says 25 minus a sixth? Okay, 25 minus a sixth, he means 20. Okay, and this is because there's a concept we're going to see that Esrim gera hashekel, okay, is the midrash. The Targum Onkelos is going to say esrim mea hashekel, which means that the shekel, which is the same as the sela, it's synonymous. That's what you're supposed to give according to the Torah, is 20 mea. Okay, so that's why it's 25 meot minus the 6, which gets you to 20. So the Gemara is going to, of course, say that's not accurate math. 25 minus a 6 doesn't get you to 20. So the Gemara says, Hani esrim v'chad neche danka have. It's really 21 minus a 6th. Right? It really comes out to, right, if you do, I have this written down somewhere yesterday, but if you do 25, a 6th of 25, right, it's going to be, right, 25 divided by 6 is going to come out to, too bad I did all the math and left it somewhere else. Right, it's 4 and a 6, basically. So in which case, if you minus 4 and a 6, you're going to end up with, it's 20 and 5 sixths, right? You're going to end up with 20 and 5 sixths and not 20. Now, first of all, before we go on and try to figure out how to calculate this technically and how they actually got from 25 minus a 6 equals 20, the first possible answer is to say, and we've seen this in a number of cases, where they will make these statements, and they didn't exactly view math the way we do in very exact. Obviously, someone did when they started questioning this, but they often say minus this equals that, and it means approximately. Okay, let's just keep that in mind, but in any case, the Gemara is going to try to get down to the bottom of this, and how could they possibly say that when it really comes out to 20 and 5 sixths? So, Ela dal shtota vizuza. They say, oh no, take off a 6, get to 20 and 5 sixths. And then, now how do we get to 20? Well, then take off a whole zuz. It means take off a sixth plus another zuz. We're missing the word zuz there. Okay, well, behanach lepidyon ben, and that's the amount you need for pidyon ben. So they say, what do you mean though? 20 and 5 sixths minus a sixth. Now, minus a zuz, we definitely get closer to the amount, but we're still at 19 and 5 sixths. Okay, we're not at 20 exactly. So we're a lot closer, but we're still not there. So therefore they say, right? So they say, that's still 20 minus the sixth, okay? Right before, when they said 25 sixth, what they were saying is 21 minus a sixth. That's how they got to 25 sixth. And now they say, now you get to 20 minus a sixth, right? It's interesting the way they speak. Instead of saying, and they kind of want to say the main number it's closest to minus a small amount rather than the way we would say it, 20 and 5 sixths or 19 and 5 sixths. It's like saying 10 of the hour rather than, 50 minutes. Ela dal zoza vishtota. What it meant is, right, bahanach lepidyonabem. What they meant is take this 25 number, right? This again, where did we start with? The Hadrian coin that sold for 25 zuzim minus, so now they say, how do you do it? First minus a zuz, that takes you to 24, and now we have a perfectly number that divides into divisible by 6. Take a sixth of that, and that gets us down to 20. Okay, that's a nice number, and that's how they resolve it. So number one, they have to add the word zuz, then they have to actually add the word zuz first instead of second. First they tried to say, take off a 6 minus a zuz. No, take off the zuz, then do a 6. Tahavalahu esrim. Now this line, okay, before we even read it, I just want to point out that the Tosfot says that this line was added by the Gaonim, which is just interesting because in the academic world, you know, they say a lot of our texts were added by later, the Sforaim mainly, which are the time in between the Amoraim and the Gaonim. But there are even statements by Rishonim, and this is one of them, where they say that this is actually a Gaonic text, okay, that even things as late as the Gaonim ended up in our text of the Gemara. And it says here, again, you could see why they would add this, because they want to explain it in their own language. Dehavele esrim mitkale b'mitkala dinare, di'inu nesrim v'timnaya zuze, upalge upalga danka. Okay, so they say this amount matches up to, one second, I have to get it clear again. This amount matches up to the 20 measures of the dinar hatsuri, okay, which is 28 zuzim and a half and a sixth, which basically means, right, how does that get you to 7/12, okay? And that's in the, you have to add the words, bidinara aravia. In other words, he says, that's 28 and 7/12 of this dinar aravia that I mentioned earlier, if you remember, in one of the opinions was about the dinar aravia. He says that's the amount. Okay? Because again, in the time of the Gaonim, assuming this is from the Gaonim, they wanted to put it into their terms of what the coins that they knew. You can see why this is very practical, right? Everyone who had a firstborn son needed to know exactly the amount that they needed to give. Amarava, sil'im de'oraita. Okay, now we're going to talk about anytime the Torah mentions, like the Sela in the time of the Torah, is talta v'tilte havu. Okay, it's 3 1/3 dinarim. Okay, now generally we say a Sela is 4 dinarim. So what he's going to say is the Sela of the Torah is 3 1/3 dinarim. How do we know this? Dichtiv, esrim, and then we're going to have to figure out, well, how'd they get from 3 1/3 to 4? First of all, you could see again, it's all the rounding, right? Maybe they wanted round numbers. They didn't like this a third. It just became complicated. So they just, at some point, you're going to see, they changed it to make it 4. So a sela in the Torah is 3 1/3 dinarim, which is also, by the way, dinarim and zuzim are the same, okay? And again, dinarim, according to the Maneh Hatsuri. Dichtiv, esrim gera hashekel. How do we know this? So this is what I said before. It's 20 gera hashekel. Umitargeminan, and the Targum there, the Targum says, the Unkelos, esrim me'in, right? That's the Aramaic. There you have your ma'ah, which is the coin, the 20 coins that were in the time of the Gemara. Vitanya, and what's the, how do we know now it's 3 1/3? Because Tanya, we have a braita that says, shesh me'ah kesef dinar. Okay, there's 6 me'ah in a dinar. Okay, so if there's 6 me'ah, to a dinar, then if you have 20 me'ah, that's going to be 3 1/3 dinari. Okay, simple math. Okay? So, that's how they get that. That's what it is. So now they say me'tive, but wait a minute. We have a contradiction. Halo sela shel kodesh arba'im u'shmona pundyon. Okay, the sela of kodesh is 48 pundyonim. Okay, now first you have to understand the context. The context of this, we're going to get into a whole bunch of different cases where the Torah is mechayev you to give money. Okay, this is going to be throughout the sugya. So one of the cases is when you dedicate a sdeh achuzah, which is something that's your inherited property or your family property, you dedicate it to the Beit HaMikdash. So what you have to do is, if you want to redeem it, meaning really what you wanted to do, you didn't want to give the property, you wanted to give the value of the property, so you give one for each year until the Yovel year, okay? So if So the Torah says, you can look at Rashi, Sela Shel Kodesh, HaMakdish Sadeh U'Bashnat HaYovel Haya Podeh Beit Zerach Chomer Tzorim B'Chamishim Slaim. It was a certain amount of land, a Beit Zerach Chomer Tzorim, the amount where you could plant a certain amount of barley, would be redeemed for 50 Slaim. Okay? But then they say, depending on how many years are left to Yovel, it will get lower and lower and lower. Okay? Because right, the field's going to go back in the Yovel year to its original... Right, so maybe... Right, it is Yerusha, but right, that's what it is. It's your own inherited property. When you say I'm Makdish, it means you're Makdish until the Yovel year. So basically, however many years of Yovel, years are left to Yovel, you're going to pay a Sela plus a Punyon, which is a much smaller coin, per year. Okay, now, if there's 48 Sla'im in a Pidyon. Now, the Torah says it's 50 Sla'im. Okay? So now, if it's 50 Sla'im, assuming there's all the years to Yovel. So how many years to Yovel if you're in the Yovel year? Let's say 49 years. So now, 49, if each year you give a Sela, 49, and each year you give a Pundyon also. If there's 48 Pundyonim in a Sela, then that's how you get to 50, right? But if there's 49 years, how much is that going to add up to? 49 Sla'im plus 49 Pundyonim. So now take the Pundyonim and transfer that back into Sla'im. 48 is another Sela. So you're going to end up with 50 Sla'im plus a Pundyon. Now the Torah said 50 Sla'im. So the question here in the source is, Pidyon, this doesn't really have to do with our issue, but let's just understand it, and then we'll go back. Pundyon ze mativo. Why do you need this extra pundyon? Kilbon le protrot. We actually saw this before, which is that a pundyon le protrot means it's an exchange fee. It's like a commission. And it's because you're exchanging it into money, you have to add a little bit more. It's like a service fee. Okay? We had this with the shkalim also. When people give them a chatzila shekel, and then they transfer it to other coins, you have to add a little amount. It was called the kalbon. Okay, so what's the point here? The point is that a sela is 48 pundyonim. Okay, now, a pundyon, okay, we don't know this, but I'm telling you, a pundyon is a 12th of a dinar of the kesef hatsuri. Okay? So now, let's do the math again. If you take 4 dinarim, is 48 pundyonim, okay, because a pundyon is a 12th of a dinar. So times 48... you end up with 48 pundyonim, which is the amount that we said is a sela. Okay, we started with a sela is 48 pundyonim. And that's equal to 4 dinarim. Ah, there we have it. What did we say before? A sela is 3 dinarim and the third dinarim. Okay, so how do we get to now that a sela is 4 dinarim? That seems to contradict. So what do they answer? Batar de osifu alayhu. That source was written after they added. I already told you this. At a certain point, they added to it. Okay? Why did they add to it? So one of the explanations I saw was in order to prevent people the difficulty of dealing with a third and trying to calculate. Right? You can imagine if people weren't so up on math, it's not so simple. So they just rounded up. Okay?
Fine.
It's just a much simpler amount. But it obviously added a lot more money to things. I also imagine that it was a certain issue of maybe lack. They wanted to make sure, kind of like we had that Amma that added the etzba and added another etzba. We don't want to, when the Torah says give this value, we don't want you to mess up on the Torah value. So they basically made it a little higher. Okay, Batar Dosifu Alayu. So now they say, Ditanya, Esrim Gera HaShekel, Lamanu LaShekel, Shi Esrim Gera. Uminayan Sheim Ratzah LaHosif Yosif. So even though we said it's Esrim Gera, which is 3 and a third dinarim, how do we know that if you want to add, you can? Talmud Lamar, Yihyeh. Okay, this is Kol Erkecha Yihyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. Yihyeh sounds like it can be, meaning you can even make it higher. Again, it's not the pshat, but it's a drush. Yachol yifchot, maybe then you could even, yeah, means you can assess it to be whatever you want it to be. Maybe you can make it even less than 3 1/3 dinarim. Talmud Lamar, who? Okay, it says there, upidu yomi ben chodesh tifted, there's a different pasuk. Kesef chameshet shkalim b'shekel, kodesh esrim gera, who? It is esrim gera, meaning you can't do it. The first pasuk we quoted was to talk about erchim. When you evaluate it, you can always evaluate it for higher if you want. But when it says how much it's worth and it says it's 20 gera, which we said is 20 me'ah, they're basically saying it can't be any less than that. And the 20 me'ah, remember, is 3 1/3 dinarim. Okay? So at some point, just to review so we don't get confused, a sela was worth 3 1/3 dinarim. At a later point, they turned it into 4 dinarim. And we just proved from this braita that there's no problem to change the value as long as you make it go higher and not lower. Rav Ashi had a bechor, and shadar le shivshar zuzeh le Rav Acha berei de Ravina. He sent 17 zuzim to Rav Acha, the son of Ravina, bepidyon aben. Okay, for pidyon aben. First of all, just to get off of currencies for one quick minute, in case you're struggling with it, there's a whole interesting diyun that comes out of this. There's a whole debate. Can you actually make a shaliach to do pidyon aben, or do you have to do it yourself? And here it sounds like you could make a shaliach, but then the people, you know, the sources seem to say you can't. So they answer it saying, when he made the shaliach, he was mizakeh him already. And we have this concept, zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav. You can, it's like you can give someone a gift even if they're not there. So that means if I want to give you a gift, let's say I want to give you something on Shabbat, a gift on Shabbat. I'm not supposed to give people gifts on Shabbat. So I can find someone else and say, I'm giving you this gift on behalf of whoever, and meaning that you accept the gift on their behalf, and that way I can give it to you on Shabbat because the kinyan already, you know, the gift took place already. So likewise here, he obviously must have given it to someone to take rights for it, for the Kohen, and not that he actually did it with the Shaliach. That's what some people say you have to understand here, but the Pshat sounds like he sent the Shaliach to do it. In any case, let's get back to our issue. 17 Zuzim he gave him. Shalach Lei, and he sent with the messenger, and he said, Lishado Limar Telta Yiterata. Just make sure to return me the third extra. Now, what do you see here? Why is there a third extra? Di'ika aluvaihu, in other words, that I added to this, and it's bring me change. What's the change? Because if it's 3 1/3 times 5, you get to 16 2/3. Mm-hmm. So, based on that, it should have returned him a third. So here you see that it's sound, right? He was talking about another dinarim that were 3 1/3. Shalach lei, so now that when Rav Acha, the son of Ravina, gets this, he sends back to him, L'shadra limar, tal tachrina, tosifu alayu. What do you mean? You owe me 3 more because they added to it and it's supposed to be 20. Amar Rabbi Chanina, kol kesef ha'war b'torah stam, sela. Okay, now we're going to, Rabbi Chanina tells us, anytime it says kesef in the Torah stam, it means a sela. In the Nevi'im, if it says kesef, it means a litrin. So again, a sela is 4 dinarim according to the Torah. If you see in the Nevi'im where they mention kesef, the word kesef, it means a litrin, which is 25 times the value of the Torah sela, a lot. D'ketuvin, if you see it in ketuvim, kinterim, it's 100 times a sela. Okay, it's 100 sla'im.
But that doesn't make sense.
Right. Why they say this, I don't really know, but I guess they had some understanding about the different currencies that they talked about in different times, and that they, you know, they called it, that's what they called it, basically.
Inflation.
And that's what, right, it's inflation. It's that a shekel in the Torah was worth a sela, a shekel in the time of the Nevi'im was worth 25 slain, and a shekel in the time of Ketuvim was worth 100 slain. That's basically what they're saying.
Usually it's based on, like, backing. Currency usually has gold backing or some kind of backing.
Right.
Like, or the value of the coin, the metal itself.
Right. So here we're going to, so part of it is going to be also how much the value, we're going to get into that a little down the road. I don't know if that connects with this, possibly. But now they say, chutz min, there's one exception to this rule, kaspo shel Ephron, okay, the kesef of Ephron, remember with Abraham and Maran HaMachpelah, and maybe they wanted to make a point here about that he really spent a lot of money on Maran HaMachpelah, and maybe there was some political thing going on here. She'af apisha katu b'torah stam, even though it just says kesef. Okay, what's the pasuk there? He says, Vayishma Avraham el Ephron, Vayishkol Avraham el Ephron et ha-kesef asher diber bozneh b'nechet. So there's the kesef. And then it says, Arba me'ot shekel kesef over la'socher. Now notice what words are added here. Over la'socher. That means that anyone will be willing to buy them. In other words, there was currency, there was the highest currency basically is the currency that everyone will buy, right? Go to a particular country with a bad currency, nobody will buy that currency there. So what they're saying is if there were different currencies and there were sla'im of the Torah and then there were litrin and then there were kinterin, it must be that since it was afa b'shkatu b'torah stam, kinterin, it must have been kinterin, dechtiv arba me'ot shekel b'kesef over la socher, V'ikaduchten, there were places, dekakaru l'kintra tikla. They called a shekel a kintra, which means that they weren't willing to accept any money less than that. That was their currency. There were places that had a very high, you know, their currency was worth a lot, and therefore it must be that he gave him the highest value, because it's called in the Torah, over l'socher. Amar Rav Hoshaya, b'kshu lignos kol kesef zahav sheba'olam, mipnei kashpa uzahava shel Yerushalayim. Once there was the Chorban, what happened? All the money that was in the Beit HaMikdash that was sanctified now got taken by the Romans and got distributed all over the place. So now what they say? They wanted to say no one can benefit from any gold or silver in the world because it could be a hektesh. Okay, this is theoretical. Okay, it would make things quite problematic. So, and as I think what he's trying to say is, why don't we have to worry about this? He's not really saying that they really said this. He was just saying they wanted to. Ad shematzu lo mikra min haTorah. It's okay. Anyway, they're going to cancel the statement in a minute and say that can't possibly be. But ad shematzu lo mikra min haTorah, they found the pasuk shumutar, shenemar, uva uva pritzim v'chililuha. Now, what does that pasuk mean? Right? The enemy came and defiled, that's the word. They defiled it. But chililuha also means redeemed, right? We always say the chalel, right? You're mechalel on a coin. So what did they say, right? Therefore, they basically said, chililuha, it means when they came and took all the coins, they were redeemed, so to speak. Obviously, the enemy didn't technically redeem them. The Romans didn't say, oh, let's do pidyon here. But once they took it, it kind of lost its sanctity. Which is an interesting concept, right? We always have a particular way of how it could lose its sanctity, and here we're basically saying, you know, poof, magically it just sort of, you know, I guess maybe the assumption is that once the Romans treated it that way, the Kedusha kind of left it. So the Gemara asks now about the statement of Rabbi Hoshaya, Yerushalayim hav Yeruba d'alma, and has, what do you mean? Yerushalayim was the majority of the world? How could the coins have gotten from Jerusalem all over the world? Now, first of all, the Romans were in many, many places, and the Roman Empire was huge. Theoretically, you could say that, but it's hard to say that you'd have to be worried anywhere. One could imagine there's a place where you just really don't have to worry about it. El Amar Abai explained, Rav Hoshaya's statement is this. Bikshu lignos dinara hadriana tiriana shiafa. They wanted specifically this Hadrian Trajan coin, that was either wiped off or was this in the name of the king Shafa, Mishum Tivasha Yerushalayim. I guess it was a coin that was very much used in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Ad shematzulam kamana Torah shu mutar. Okay, it wasn't that they were going to take all the gold and silver, but specifically that type of coin. Shneamar uvah uvah pritzim b'chililuha. That was an aside. I think we brought this because we were talking about that particular coin, so they want to tell us something else interesting about this coin. Maybe they wanted a break from all the calculations also. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Okay, we're back to calculations. Amar Rav Asi. Rav Yehuda, should it be Rav Asi? Right, it says there in Baba Kama, it actually says Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, which makes sense because Rav Yehuda generally brings things in the name of Rav. Kol kesef ha'amor b'torah stam, kesef tsuri. Okay, so now, before we compare Torah Nevi'im k'tuvim, now we're comparing Torah to the rabbis. When the Torah says kesef stam, what they mean is kesef tsuri, which is the more expensive coin. When the rabbis say you have to pay a schum of kesef, okay, shel divrehem, when the rabbis are talking about meaning in the Mishnah, for example, they mean kesef medina. They mean, which we're going to see, is an eighth of the value of the kesef hatsuri. Okay, it's an eighth less. Uklalahu. So now they say uklalahu. Is this really true? Okay, now what they're saying is, what's the assumption? The assumption, okay, so the kesef hatsuri was this sela that's worth 4 dinarim, okay? And now they're assuming that, and by the way, oh, I just want to point out, just to connect things, Rashi says kesef medina, shmidi shel kesef tsuri, if you remember, we had this eighth before, where would we see it? Istiras susvirata, damrina la'el. That Syrian coin, or some people say it was a messed up coin, that coin, they say, is mizdabna timnaya b'dinar, right? 8 for a dinar, meaning that's the value that's 1/8, okay? That coin matches that amount. So now they're going to assume that what? That the dinar was the smallest coin that existed in those days, okay? So we're going to assume then that the dinar is the smallest, in which case we're going to have a problem. Uklala, who is that really true? Fahare ta'ana dichtiv ki chain ishareo kesefo kelim lishmor. Utnan shvuata dayanim hata'ana shtea kesef. Okay, again, we're going to get into all sorts of issues where there's payments in the Torah. This is what we call modeh b'miktzad. If somebody claims I owe them money, and I say, I only owe you part, I agree that I owe you some money, but I don't agree that I owe you all the money that you claim. Okay, we learned this a long time ago. You have to take a shvuat modeh b'miktzad. If you already admitted to half, we assume that maybe you're just lying because you don't want to give all the money right now, but you're not really lying. You're just, you are really lying, but you're lying to push it off. You're not... Well, you're clearly not denying the whole thing, but even the half that you're denying, you're not actually denying. You're just trying to push the guy off. You're saying, I'll pay you this now, and I'll pay you more later. And therefore, we assume that you're actually not telling the truth when you say, I don't owe you anything. And therefore, we basically say you have to swear if you really don't want to pay this amount because we think that you're lying. So now, and that's all based on we don't think, if you really wanted to, we don't think you're really going to deny, because anadami is b'fnei bal chovo, you wouldn't totally deny, so therefore you're denying only part. Because, okay. Now, there's a machloket now. It says, right, it says in the pasuk, ki yitein isha re'eo kesef o kelim lishmur. So, and then he denies it, right? So then you have to swear. So they learn about this swear. Shvuat ha-dayanim ha-ta'ana shtea kesef. Okay, there has to be a claim of... Okay, so now there's a debate what it means, hatana. Either the claim of the person trying to get the money saying, you owe me two kesef. What's kesef? Well, according to what we said, what's kesef? Me'ah, right? Kesef in the rabbis is going to be two me'ah. And we're assuming they're talking about a me'ah because what does it say? Hatana shtei hakesef. Shtei is feminine and me'ah is feminine. And dinar or zuz is masculine. So we're assuming that shtei means two money. Okay, so now I'm bringing a side thing which isn't relevant to us, which is what needs to be, what's the ta'ana that needs to be two ma'ah? Sorry, not money. What needs to be two ma'ah? Either the claim, you owe me two ma'ah, and then the guy could say, oh, I only owe you one. Okay? Or some people say, no, the denied claim has to be about two ma'ah, which means the claim actually has to be larger than two ma'ah, okay, in order to be modeh b'miktzad. But I'm not going to get into that machloket, not so relevant for our issue. The point is that here we have a Torah law about kesef, and they claim that the kesef in the Torah here is based on ma'ot, two ma'ot, which is a third of a dinar. Okay, because what did we say? Six ma'ah equals a dinar. So now we're going to have a claim about a third of a dinar based on Torah law of this word kesef, and that doesn't make any sense. So, according to what we said. So now they say, Shane hatam, dichtiv kesef o kelim, ma shnaim av kesef shnaim, uma kesef davar chashuv, av kelim davar chashuv. So what did they say here? They say even though the lowest coin was a dinar, okay, now the assumption here is that the dinar atzuri, and here it gets back to what Shari was saying, was made up of real silver. Okay, it was made out of real silver, whereas the ma'ah was a mixture of matachot. And what they're basically saying is here, we learn from the comparison of kesef and kelim. One thing we learn is that since kelim is plural, also kesef has to be plural. That's how we got to shtayim, has to be two. But the more important thing is that kesef has to be davar chashuv, and as long as what they're saying is it doesn't have to be a coin, the lowest coin, it just has to be something that has value. And a third of a dinar has value, is valued enough. Okay, and that's all you need. You need chashivut, you don't need a coin specifically. V'hare ma'aser, what about this case? Dichti vitzarta kesef biyadecha. You have to take the money. This is ma'aser sheni. What do? You have fruits that you're supposed to bring to the Beit HaMikdash and eat them in Yerushalayim, your Maaser Sheni, and it's too schleppy to carry, so what do? You turn it into a coin. So now, what does it say in the Mishnah there? Utznan haporetz sela. If you take your little coins, okay, there's mima'ot, haporetz sela mima'ot Maaser Sheni. If you take your ma'ot Maaser Sheni, you have a lot of coins from each time you redeem something onto a coin. Now, what's the assumption here already? That you can redeem your Maaser Sheni onto a coin. And it says a kesef. A kesef sounds like it has to be a dinar, not these little coins. So anyway, what they're saying here in the sources if you take your ma'ot and you want to redeem it, and not redeem it, you want to, you don't want to schlep so many heavy coins, so you exchange it for the sela, right? Which means already that you could take ma'ot, okay? So parit sela ma'ot maser sheni, and then it talks about that. So I forget what's the continuation there. Parit sela midmei, I'm just looking at Rashi, midmei ma'ot maser sheni, shayu lo pruto parot sela chlifan b'sli'ei kesef, mipnei masoya derech. And then there's a plug to Beit Shammai Omrim Bechol HaSela Ma'ot Umir Shaminu Minat, right, Bechol HaSela, right, Rashi doesn't quote the whole thing. Bechol HaSela Ma'ot.
The question is whether Kesef represents silver.
Meaning what? Meaning that. One second, I forget the machloket here. I guess you can do it. You can do, no.
If you redeem Maser Sheni with copper prutot, it means the Kesef does not actually limit you to silver.
It's all kinds of coins, not just silver.
Right, according to the, yeah, it just explains to you how to do it if you're going to do it. I'm assuming maybe you have to add a transfer fee or something like that. It could be that, but I'm not sure. See if there's further details here. I don't think it gives you details about how you do it and what the exchange rate, and there's obviously some machloka bit shama bit halal. Okay, about how exactly you do it. Anyway, that's not our issue. That's why I didn't look it up before. But in any case, what do we see here? They say, why is that case different? Because kesef, kesef, riba. It says kesef in the pasuk twice. It says, v'natata ba'kesef, v'tzarta ha'kesef biyadecha. Kesef appears twice. Twice comes to say even less than the standard amount. Again, because the whole thing is, doesn't the standard amount have to be a dinar? How can we use a ma? Vare hekdesh. What about hekdesh? Dichtiv. Vinatan hakesef bekamlo. Okay, when you redeem something, right, you take the kesef and it becomes yours. That item you redeemed now becomes yours. Vamar Shmuel. Hekdesh shave mana shechilelo al shave pruta michulal. You remember this? He says if you take something that's worth a maneh, which is a lot of money, and you do a chilul, you're not supposed to do this, you're supposed to redeem it, right? You have a donkey, and it's worth, let's say, 100, and you redeem it for 10, right? Theoretically, that shouldn't work, but if you did it anyway, it works. So now, right, even a shavapruta, now a shavapruta is obviously a lot less than a dinar, it's like the smallest possible coin. So, how could that work? Mechulal, right? So he says, oh, hekdesh nami, yalif kodesh kodesh mi maaser. Okay, we do a gzeirah shava from maaser to there. Maaser is considered kodesh, and this is hekdesh, so there you have it. We can, once we have this exception by maaser, we can apply that exception to hekdesh. Varei kiddushe isha, when it comes to kiddushin, what does it say? V'yatza chinam ein kasef. Okay, this isn't exactly kiddushin. What is this? This, we go back, we learn a lot of laws about kiddushin from this Amai Vriya case. When it comes to a female, a maidservant that was sold to slavery by her father, and the idea is she works until she's a marriageable age, and then the owner marries her or marries her off to her son, and then it's his son, it says, and if he takes another wife, right, and it's, assuming the son marries her, he has to treat her well, and that's where we learn the laws of the three obligations the husband has to his wife, which is shir, ksud, and onah, he has to give to his wife. And then it says, ve'im shalosh ela lo yasela, if he doesn't give her shir, ksud, and onah, because there it says, and then if he takes another wife, he at least has to give her her minimum basic needs, shir, ksud, and onah, which according to the standard, this is machloka, what exactly it means, we learned about it, but the standard is, she'er is a place to live, ksud is clothing, and onah is sexual relations. And if he doesn't give her those things, v'yatzach chinam ein kasef. She goes free. Now, what does it mean, ein kasef? So what do they derive from this? It means that she, you know, she leaves his reshut without money. And then they say, what do they derive from this? The father, there's other, but normally, right, one second, it's derived from here. Umehatam gamrina, Rashi says, damrina ein kesef ladon zeh. In other words, what does it mean, yasachinam ein kesef? He doesn't get any money for her. Like, theoretically, he owns her. So theoretically, if she leaves, she should have to pay him. But she doesn't, okay, because it's his fault. He broke the contract. But what does it teach you? Yesh kesef ladon acher. But if she leaves someone else's reshut, there is money exchanged, meaning when she leaves her father's house, meaning when she gets married off, the father gets money. What does that mean? There's kesef kiddushin, okay, which either goes to her or maybe her, you know, to her father. So there's an assumption here that there is kesef kiddushin, and what do you learn from here? Kesef kiddushin, what do you see? Yes, achinam ein kesef. Now it's referring indirectly, but they directly learn from here to kiddushin that kiddushin is kesef. Kiddushin is kesef. What do you say? Kiddushin has to be minimum dinar. Well, what are we going to see here? It's none. Beit Shammai omrim b'dinar u b'shve dinar. Beit Shammai actually say it has to be a dinar and a shve dinar. In other words, either a dinar or something worth a dinar. U beit Hillel omrim b'pruta u b'shave pruta. It just has to be something worth a pruta. That's where you get all these problems, right, with the soda can and, you know, the all those cases where kids pretend, you know, could she leave with this? And is it worth it? Is it worth a pruta or not? Certainly not worth a dinar, but it's Beit Hillel. It's worth a pruta. That's enough. So Lema Ravasi Damar Kabet Shamhai, what Ravasi said, like Beit Shammai, there has to be a dinar, and that any kesef in the Torah is a dinar. So now we have a better answer, which is gonna basically, and it's all the other cases we answer, Maser, Tunikas Kesef Kesef, and Hekdesh, we learn from Maser. Now we can actually answer something which answers all of them, and we don't even need the answers that we gave before. Ela Itmar Hachitmar. This is really what he meant to say. Amar Yehuda, Amar Ravasi, or maybe Rav, whoever it was, Kol Kesef Katsuv Ha'amor B'Torah, Kesef Tzuri. What's the main focus here? Kesef Katsuv. There's different times where the Torah gives uses the word Kesef. Sometimes it says Kesef randomly. And sometimes it says Kesef like all the cases in our Mishnah. There's the 5 Sla'im for the Kohen. There's the 30 for the Eved Kanani who gets killed by a shor. There's the 50 of the Onas and Mefate, there's 100 of the Mosi Shema. Where it gives a specific amount, that amount is valued in the Kesef Hatsuri. But, Shel Divrehem, but when it's, and if, now, he doesn't say if it's not Katsuv, okay? The assumption is, if it's not Katsuv, then it can be anything. And that's what we get. The Kiddushin is even a Pruta, and the Maaser and the Hekdesh can be even a Ma'ah. That's fine. Vishel divrehem, but the rabbis, when the rabbis gave a schum katsuv, a specified amount, and that's what they're saying is Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the name of Rav or the name of Rav Asi had nothing to do with stam the word kesef. It only had to do with kesef katsuv, a set amount that's mentioned either by the rabbis or by the Torah. If it's mentioned in the Torah, it's kesef tzuri. If it's mentioned in the rabbis, it's kesef medina. So now they say, well, then what's the point of him saying this? My kamashmalan. What's his point? Tanina, it already says in the Mishnah, Chamesh Sla'im Shaben V'chule. It tells us already in the Mishnah, Chamesh Sla'im Shaben B'maneh Tzuri. And it basically lists in our Mishnah all those cases in the Torah and said that we evaluate them all based on the Maneh Tzuri, the higher amount. So we already know all that. So why is Rav Yehuda telling us this? So obviously, what's he telling it for? The second part of his words. V'shel divrem kesef medina itzuri chaleh. Right? In other words, the Mishnah didn't talk about the rabbi's amount of kesef, obviously, because the Mishnah assumed you, when they talked about an amount, you knew what amount they were talking about. So the Mishnah didn't specify that part, so therefore, when he makes a statement, he brings up the first part, which we already know, to compare it to the second part, which we didn't necessarily know. Ditnan, and here we're going to have a case in the Mishnah where it talks about an amount. Hatoker l'chavero noten l'sela. Noten lo sela. If you remember, we learned this case. It's actually a very strange case because it's not clear what it means. So Rashi says, Hamaket chaveiro ba'ozno. You hit him in the ear. Okay, that's lashon mori b'baba kama. Bekan shamati, but here I learned, Tokea mamash shetakam mipiv ba'ozno. He blew into his ear, like screamed into his ear really loud. Or, I think it's Rashi there or someone else, there's another opinion that he hits his ear onto the wall. There's all different opinions what exactly he did to this person. And there's a debate whether there was actual damage or you're only really chayav in the embarrassment and the pain you caused him, but there's not actual damage. There's a whole debate about what exactly this case is, because if you just scream in his ear, there's not necessarily damage, although you could damage, depends. But it's not, you know, maybe in those days also they didn't have ways to measure hearing. Maybe they did, I don't know. Anyway, whatever the case may be, Hatokel Chaviro Noten Lasela. Velo tema sela arba zuze. Don't say, normally, what would we say? Remember, a sela is 4 dinarim, which is the same. A dinar and a zuz are synonymous. 4 zuzim. Okay, don't say that's what they mean here. And they're talking about, again, either the Boshet or maybe the Boshet and the Tsar. Some people even say that this amount includes even that really there's no doctor's bills or all that, but they gave an amount anyway that includes that, even though it, there isn't. Anyway, like I said, all different opinions. Ella Palga de Zuse. Okay, now we get to, it's 1/8 the amount, so we end up with half a Zeus. Okay, because 4 divided by 8 will be half. Dekare inche sela, because people in the time of the Mishnah called a sela palga de zuze. In other words, you would say it the reverse, which is they called a half a zuz a sela. So we see that the sela of the Torah is worth 4 zuzim. The sela of the rabbis is worth half of a zuz, which is an eighth of the amount of a sela in the Torah. Hanan bisha. And now we're going to have a good story. We'll end with a nice story. I don't know, nice story. Maybe not such a nice story. Hanan bisha takala leha lahu gafra. Okay, he smacked someone in the ear or whatever this tkiat ozen is, which we don't know exactly, but he did it to someone. Ata lekamejor. Now notice his name is Hanan bisha. Bisha is Hanan bisha. Bisha is an embarrassment. He's the busha. This guy. Atal kameja Rav Huna, they came before Rav Huna. Amarle havle palga dezuza. You say, give him a half a zuz. Havat ika, but it probably doesn't. It shouldn't read havat ika. Havale zuza macha. He had a bad zuz, okay, like a coin. Rashi says shenipchetat surato v'lo avashakele. Okay, in other words, it's like you have a ripped bill that nobody will take in the store. You'll bring it to a store and they'll say, oh, I'm not accepting that. And then you're stuck with this money that's not going to be able to be used anywhere. Canadian, so that's what he had. What?
A Canadian quarter.
Right. So that's what he had. He had this coin that he had nothing to do with, basically. But it was worth a whole zuz. So he couldn't pay the guy because he wouldn't get change. So what's the best solution? Okay. So he had a zuzamacha bahade with him. Dilo nafik, that couldn't be sold and the shugyo couldn't be used. Takale achrina, so he smashed him another time in the ear, v'yahaveniyale, and he paid him with this coin, and that was that. And what you see here is two things. Number one, how really, what a bad guy, terrible guy he was. And what you see here is that it's an interesting halacha, that when you get paid damages, you can't be picky about what kind of coin you get. And as long as somebody theoretically could take this coin, you can't argue. Which is interesting. You would think that Yad Hanizak would be ala Elyona, and here you see not. If you want to pay with damaged money, you actually can. And as long as somebody will take that money, and it can't be that damaged, but a rip bill, sometimes you give it to someone and they won't complain. So there you have it. Okay.
Thank you.